that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, I'm kind of disappointed. I said this to you in our pre-production. There was all this hype that's been built up on social media that the transfer portal was going to be crazy and that we're all going to be all these big names the minute that it opens. And like a couple of guys. That's about it. The biggest was a running back, which was Damian Martinez, and there hasn't really been anything else. I was fully expecting to come on today's show for us to have a full hour of reactions to a bunch of big names.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Why do you say that?
Because I think they still got 13 more days that they can hit the portal.
That is true.
And here's another thing that we and you did not talk about. There are teams that are going to make cuts. With that being said, I think that teams are going to reevaluate some things, maybe cut some kids that they need to, and you're going to see some other kids late hit the portal. I don't think that this is over with. I know what you're saying. I'm just holding. If we get 7 days in and nobody hits, I'll be like, okay, all right, well, then maybe – there was just a lot of talk. Right now, I'm gonna hold on and make sure that nobody enters.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think that a lot more than the winter portal period, this time is used to purge rosters of a lot of back-end guys. Get rid of guys that really they're wasting scholarship spots on. Maybe they're wasting part of their NIL budget on. Guys that they're just going to try and push out the door. I think there's a good chance that a lot of those guys end up probably moving down to G5 or lower level P4. But you do bring up a good point. Maybe in the final weeks that there are some teams that try to entice some guys to get them to hop in the portal.
Well, I do think that there are some big name guys that hit the portal, regardless of what you think of them as an athlete. I think Carmani McClain is big. I think Jacoby Matthews is big.
Yes. Yes.
I think that Dominic Williams from TCU is big. I think he's going to either wind up Ohio State, Texas, or LSU. So there are some big names that are in there. It's just not maybe the high-profile guys that people anticipated. Because, Joe, here's what happens. It only takes one quarterback that's prolific to get in there, and all of a sudden, here we go. So I will just remind everybody, hold on. Hang on to your britches. It's not over with yet. Just throwing this out there, too. Let me get down to him. Damian Martinez is in there. We'll talk about him today. Did you put him in your top five running backs? Which, by the way, we're talking about top five running backs today. Did you put him in there?
He's number six for me. He's right on the outside.
Yeah, you're wrong. No. The Louisville defensive end, Jermaine Lowell, is also in the portal. So, Joe, I do think that there is something to be said. Interior defensive linemen do not get the praise that they need. But I think Lowell is somebody big that he's going to be at Oklahoma this weekend. So will Williams, who we just discussed. There are a lot of teams going after interior defensive linemen, and they're just not the sexy names. So I still think that there are some big-time names in there already.
Yeah, I think that as we talked about the other day when we brought up LSU and their team needs, a lot of teams still need to figure out the interior part of their defensive line. It's one of the hardest positions to really build. It's one of the most coveted and highly sought after in recruiting overall. So I think that right now what we're kind of seeing is, maybe some DMs were sent, maybe some conversations were initiated by some programs to get some guys to move. And I think that there are plenty of guys on some G5 rosters, like CJ West is a really good example from Kent State. He hops in the portal. He might not be a nationwide well-known name, But in scouting circles, everyone's saying, okay, we need this guy to take up some space. We need a dude who's going to take on double teams and is going to clear up some space for our linebackers. Those types of guys are going to get a lot of attention, I think, over the next week until this closes.
I can see in 10 years C.J. West being in Harold Perkins' wedding because of how good he was and freeing up Harold Perkins in the inside. What do you think?
I could totally see that.
I could too. Totally. I hope.
Wait, can I ask you a question before we move on here? You brought up Harold Perkins, and I know that I'm telling you right now, I don't think you understand from the scouting draft perspective how much of an obnoxious discourse is going to happen about him.
No, I fully understand it and fully agree.
Yeah.
Right now, it seems like he's positionless.
Is he playing for sure Will Backer? Like, what is he doing at LSU? Okay.
Yeah, he's playing Will Backer.
That was my question.
Here's what I think happened with Harold Perkins. I think LSU was such in a panic because they couldn't get a pass rush and they didn't have playmakers on the outside that by necessity he had to move out there. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I do think that Blake Baker is – I'm not giving up on Perkins at all. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't you dare be what's the word I'm looking for here? Surprised if Harold Perkins if this is not I'm not completely sold that this will be his last year at LSU.
Oh, you think he might be a four-year guy?
Because of the development he may need. But I will just remind you, don't let last year's defense fool you. By the way, here's the crazy thing. He still matched his freshman year's productions and sacks.
Right.
Because
you're kind of hoping that a guy like that takes a step forward.
Well, hold on just one second. Mm-hmm. He had two-thirds less pass rush attempts.
I mean, it shows how good of an athlete he is. It's just correct. Like what we're talking about here. He was
67% less pass rushing, and he had the same amount of number of sacks. I think things will clear up for him. But he does got some things he's got to get better in. I thought he did good I think he did good this spring. We'll see. We'll see. I fully understand it. But – you know, I had to get Ryan. I had to clap.
I know. I saw that. That was
I had to clap back at Ed Ryan because listen, I don't talk about Notre Dame players on Twitter for a purpose.
Whoa, wait. But he's a draft guy, though. Like
I don't give two Rudy Poop what he draft. Is. I could care two less. If you talk about, because the last time you did this, hold on now. Don't you better tell Ryan, by the way, Ryan is Joe's other co-host. You better tell Ryan. You tell him this now. The last time someone who is a Notre Dame fan said something negative, hold on, about an LSU player, next Thursday live on this show, Joe DeLeon will eat a hat.
That's not transferable. That's not how that works.
Oh, it's transferable.
No, it's not.
All I'm going to say is you got 1 week. By the way, I'm hearing some things.
He's going to fall out of the first round?
No. I know for a fact that there has been a team in the NFC East.
Okay. I think you told me this.
That has inquired about moving up. Now, I was
told. I think it's kind of obvious which team that is.
No, because an NFC team has the number two pick. A number two pick. Well,
the number two pick doesn't have to trade up.
You don't know. You don't know. I could have said Washington's moving up. You don't know. Okay. All I'm saying is I was told that top administrators flew to California yesterday and may have had a meeting. Now, I was told that that meeting lasted about 6 hours, and I would not be shocked, but if this team – okay, it's the Giants. So – if they're going to move up, if they would have to do it to another NFC East team. I've also been told that there has been people inside of the Reds, or they're not the Redskins anymore. What's their name?
Commanders.
That they have said over their dead bodies. So I think things are getting intriguing. Also, do not be surprised if Vegas moves up to number one. I know this sounds crazy. People have continued to call me crazy. I know what I know. The head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders literally was the lead recruiter for Jaden Daniels going into Arizona State.
Right.
So there is a lot of buzz there. I don't know if they can move to one. I do think that they can move to two. Look, draft buzz is what it is. By the way, are you doing stuff for the draft?
TBD, but currently have a plan in place. Not doing what I did in the past. Thank God. Holy shit. The last 2 years was horrible.
We did it last year, and I'm just like, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm probably just doing a straight live stream. I'm not doing that shit again.
Can I join or no?
I think that I haven't planned this out. So after the Daniels pick, probably, yeah. Actually, maybe not after that one. Probably after the Malik Nabers one, because I don't want to hear you talk about Jaden Daniels.
Oh, damn, bro. It's like that.
No, because I don't want the victory lap. I don't want the victory lap on
it. Doesn't
show.
Matter.
You can do the victory lap on this show. You can't
whether
do it
it's
on
this show, whether it's on AYS, whether it's on Hack City, whether it's on something on the draft. It does not matter. I am going to take my victory lap. Do you realize that I've been waiting for this for over a year?
I'm going to block you on draft night, and then I'll unblock you on Sunday.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. Watch for me. I will do that.
That's the most beta move I've ever heard. By the way, Joe last year, if you didn't know, told me that he'd eat a hat if Jaden Daniels would be the number one overall pick. Or first round pick, excuse me. Get ready, bud. I'm telling you, this is going to be glorious.
I'm less worried about you. I don't care anymore. I'm just going to silence my phone. I've taken worse lashings for more justifiable reasons. So I'm at the point where it's like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to scroll past the notifications.
Here's what I would rather. I would rather buy you an LSU hat that you have to wear on every show for a week.
Oh, deal. I'll do that. I'd do it for a month. I would do it for 6 months if I don't have to eat the hat. Obviously, I can't eat a fucking hat. Like, there's literally no way for me to eat a hat. But I think that's a fair counter. I'll buy the hat myself. I don't think you should have to pay for it, and I will wear it. I will wear the LSU hat on the show until the start of the season. I think that is a fair counter.
No, I'm not gonna make you.
No, because I had a very extreme counter. My counter was I was gonna eat a piece of clothing. So I think that is fair. Until the start of the season.
All right, if you want to go that long by wearing the same hat over and over and over again, which I do it all the time, it's not that bad. You just got to pick up certain clothes. All right, deal. Look yourself up an LSU hat. Chris H in the chat says, I second Joe having to wear an LSU hat. God, this is going to be glorious. Gavin says, when will Blake wear a Washington hat? I never made a bet. I don't mind wearing Washington gear, to be honest with you. I don't mind wearing other teams' gear.
Neither do I, as long as it's not LSU.
All right. Let's get rolling. We will talk about our top five running backs in college football. I'm sure we'll have a debate here. There's one running back that I think that people need to keep their eyes on. If he did hit the portal, I would definitely go after him. We'll talk about that. Also, Joe, we'll talk about some of the guys that did enter the portal. What do you think about them? Where do you think they could go and fit? Thirdly, I added this topic at the end because of how crazy things have been. We got to talk about Colorado, and we got to talk about Deion. We got to talk about his roster building. I think it is toxic.
Yeah, I'm glad this is the angle that I wanted to take, and I'll be very succinct here. It has to be discussed. We need to stop being afraid to criticize Deion Sanders. Okay, we need to stop with this bullshit. There's too much eggshell walking because the people that support Deion Sanders are folks that aren't really familiar with college football. And those that are familiar with and have followed the game understand that the constant cycling of guys in and out does not work. I was willing to support it, and I'm still supporting it. I want it to succeed, but this shit has to stop. He can't keep pushing guys out. I don't know what's going on with that program, but it, you're right. We need to talk about it. A conversation needs to be had.
All right. Listen. This is probably a very, very deep fake, but I've just got DM'd 6 times in a matter of a couple of seconds. Did you see this thing about Ryan Day being arrested?
He didn't get, no, there's no way. Send it to me.
Okay. I mean, I think it's a deep fake. Nevertheless.
Yeah.
It got me. It got me. You know, those deep.
Was it a random account? Was it like a really random account?
I mean, no.
Some of you know.
Oh, no, I don't know. It's a deep fake, nevertheless. All right, we got tons that we got to get to. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share. If you're on Facebook, share to all those groups. Share to all those social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, notification bell. Wherever you're listening to us on podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're not, if you're looking, searching on Google Play, just come over to YouTube if you need to. Let's talk about our good friends over at BetOnline. We'll come back, talk about our top five running backs. We do that next. Stay with us.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back!
All right. Let's get this thing rolling, y'all. Elks says, did you see the Carmani McClain space when he was
What this is?
No, I don't.
I didn't watch the full thing, but he went in like a Twitter space and Colorado fans started yelling at him.
I thought you meant something else. Yes, I watched and listened to the whole thing. Look. The kid should have never gone in there.
No, it was a terrible idea.
Terrible idea. Secondly, there's not a dude in that space that'd say that shit to his face.
That's the other part that's important. I mean, that's a total waste of everybody's time. It's the best way to put it.
I got to be real. When Twitter spaces first came out, I was in them religiously. I do think that it helped me gain and build, you know, like, what I've been doing and what me starting this, because it became more of a relationship with people. I completely thank anybody whoever created Twitter spaces. However, they're extremely toxic and they're not worth it. No. I have, if you see me in a Twitter spaces, it is an anomaly at this point, you know, because they're just, and especially if you let up anybody to talk, it's so stupid. So stupid. All right, let's get rolling. Joe, we've done our top five head coaches, OCs, DCs, quarterbacks. Now we are here at running backs. I'll start off with you, my man. Put up your top five running backs. I do have some problems that you have in here, but I'm going to go ahead and let you list them off. Go ahead and give us your top five running backs in college football 2024.
So I would like it to be known that everybody typically gives – running backs, for whatever reason, you know, they discredit the importance in the sport. I think that there's always an assumption that there's not a lot of talent at running back. I think this upcoming year, there are so many names that there's so much interchangeability. That's why I think our lists are so different. From there are like 15 guys that we could have each put in here. There's so much variability.
I don't know about that.
Dude, there's a lot of really good running backs coming back. But my top five that I have: number one, Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State. Number two, Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State. Number three, Devin Neal from Kansas. Number four, Ashton GT from Boise State. And then number five, Taj Brooks from Texas Tech.
All right.
But show yours before we always do this.
All right, yes, we always do this. Let me give you my top five then as well. Here are my top five. Joe, we have the top two the same, Ollie Gordon and Quinshon Judkins. We'll talk about Henderson in this in just a moment, too, and give the reasons why. Damian Martinez for me at number three. I'll explain my reasoning for that, even though he doesn't have a school at the current moment. Taj Brooks from Texas Tech, who, Joe, I got to be honest, I think is one of the best backs. I love me some Taj Brooks. We'll talk about him. He's my number four. And Trevor Etienne, Georgia, at number five. Joe, let me go to yours back very quickly. Ashton Ginty from Boise State in your top five. Can you explain?
Yeah, I can explain. So he was somebody who the season ended, a lot of people expected was going to go in the portal. And if he did, he would have been one of the most sought after players in the portal. He gives me a little bit of Jahmyr Gibbs vibes. And I was high on Jahmyr Gibbs before he exploded and had the season that he had. I think that if he had jumped in, he would have been a premier player on a Big Ten or an SEC roster. Absolutely. I'm kind of disappointed he decided to stay at Boise State because the spotlight's not going to be as big on him. But this is an NFL back. This is a guy that was very productive last year for Boise State. They started the season horribly slow. They went on this tear of a run to go to the Mountain West Championship game and win it. And it was all because of his production and the work that he put in and the plays that he made. He is a one-cut, explode, splash play type of a guy. He is, obviously, it's not much hard to be the best G5 back. He's without a doubt the best G5 back. But again, if he ended up on an SEC or Big Ten roster, we'd be talking about him a lot differently.
I understand what you're saying. And I understand that he had, what was it, like 19, 20 touchdowns last year. I think caught 5 or 6 touchdowns out of the backfield, mm-hmm. ran for like 1,300 yards. He has
1,300 yards, 14 touchdowns, 569 yards receiving, 5 touchdowns receiving. So that was total 19.
I'm just always skeptical, Joe, when a back from the G5 and putting them in here. Because I think it's a completely different beast on who you're going up against every single week, okay, and the line of scrimmages. Things that he can get away with at the G5 level at Boise State, he can't get away with. When you told me yours, I went and watched a little bit more of him. I don't think he can get away with some of the stuff that in the Power Four. I don't think that he can – I don't think he's just like the speed that he has. I do think he's pretty fast, but I just don't know if some of the things that he does. There's something about him for me that's like, I don't know if this would translate to anywhere else in the SEC. I understand your Jahmyr Gibbs comp, but he's the Czech Cola of Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's a really good back, can catch the ball out of the backfield. I don't hate the pick here. I just wanted to hear your justification.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I don't really hate it. I just needed to hear you give me the reasons why. I would have Taj Brooks ahead of him, though.
By the way, it is Gene T. It's not Gene Tree. It's Gene T.
You know how I am with names.
I mean, it's there's no R in the spelling.
Yeah, there is no R in the spelling. It's Gene T.
Am I crazy? I'm like
I'm looking at it right now. It's J. Am I crazy? Gene T. Y. No, you're fine.
It's a hard sell for me. You know, it's hard for me to sit here and try and convince you. This is one guy that I acknowledge. I can't really come to an argument to the table with because I can't say and do what I did with Jahmyr Gibbs where it was like, okay, he played at Georgia Tech, but watch what he's about to do at Alabama. He stayed at Boise, which is, you know, good for him. Good for him for having the wherewithal to do that and stick and finish the job that he started, but it's kind of boring. I kind of wish that we got to see him play at Alabama.
Do you think that there's a reason why no coaches went after him? I mean, because you, let's be honest.
No. He was sought after. He was one of the first names before the portal opened up that everyone was like, oh, this guy is going
to
end up.
So you mean to tell me he turned down some money?
That's what everyone assumes. I don't have any sourcing on that, but that seems to be what the assumption is.
Yeah, I can't put him in. I got to be real with you. I think that there's two other backs that I would put over him that are not on my list.
Who?
I know I joked with you earlier and you finally called it after 3 hours. I would put Caleb Jackson ahead of him. I would.
We can't. I don't mind the projection stuff, but we can't do projection on a guy who is 165 yards. We can't put a guy who is 165 yards over one who rushed for 19 touchdowns. We can't.
He didn't run for 19 touchdowns. He ran for 14.
Sorry, he totaled 19 touchdowns.
All right. At the end of the season or after game one of the season and you say you come in here and say, Mr. Blake, I was wrong, you got to remember.
No. This isn't a statement that I'm going to do that and say I was wrong. I'm just telling you would be ludicrous. I like projecting, but I don't think it's fair to project a guy who has that few carries.
Sure, and that's why he's not my top five. But okay. In all honesty –
shouldn't even top 50.
Oh, no, sir.
He hasn't played.
He has played.
165 yards?
Okay.
He's playing? Come on, we can't do okay. that.
All right. I will bet you the house that he is one of the top, if not the top back in the SEC next year.
I'm sure he could be. I don't think he's going to be the top back in the SEC. Because
he's going to be the top back in the SEC. They're going to run the shit out of the football.
The number three guy that you have is probably going to outproduce him. Assuming he ends up at Tennessee. Oh, no, wait. Didn't he cancel his Tennessee visit or something?
He canceled his Tennessee. The who our Believe co-host, his son, might be going to Tennessee.
Hayden wasn't listed as one of his visits, Tennessee. It was blown away.
I don't know what that's about. Maybe it's not. But Damian Martinez is my number three. You want to go there for a second?
Yeah, let's talk about Damian Martinez because I'm sure that you're perplexed I didn't have him in.
I am a little perplexed because, Joe, I got to be honest with you. Damian Martinez was Oregon State offensively last year. A lot like Ollie Gordon. Joe, here's what I remember, okay? I remember, like, when you and I talked about Oregon State versus Utah, okay? And I bet the house on Oregon State. It wasn't DJU that won them that football game. It's Damian Martinez, right? I remember when Oregon State played Washington and we were deep into that game. DJU couldn't complete a pass. It was Damian Martinez that brought them back in that game. Joe, we've seen him be the game changer for a team and put a team on his back. I get the whole, maybe he's not, the fastest, the biggest, the strongest, but I know that he carried a team and he's a load to bring down. I don't even look at it statistically. I don't even look at him because I know what my eyes were telling me when he had, and I'm going to be honest, a below average offensive schematics around him because of how limited they had to be with the quarterback in DJU last year. That's why I'm not really betting the house on Florida State at the current moment. I just think that he has got to be out there in the top three for me, mainly due to the fact I think he's going to go to a school. Miami, if he goes there, watch out. He's going to go to a school that's got a better offensive line, better system. It's going to show up and open people's eyes to him. I don't think that the system that he was in because of the quarterback play is going to be was conducive to him last year. Because, Joe, if he got in the backfield with Cam Ward, then what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. His production is, he's going to – I don't think it's going to skyrocket. Like, I don't think it's going to – like I said, he could be a 1,500 yard back. I think that's on the table. But I'll let you finish.
Okay, go ahead. No, I'm done. Go ahead.
All I was going to say, and the reason why he's six for me, out of any of these guys, he had the best offensive line out of any of these guys that we're talking about last year. Taliese Fuaga is about to be a top 15 pick. And the left tackle that they have, I'm completely blanking on his name, is also going to be a top 50 pick in next year's draft. They've got a really good offensive line. I look at the fact that Devin Neal didn't really have anybody blocking for him. I look at the fact that Quinshon Judkins, Ole Miss's offensive line, was shit last year. Ollie Gordon, nobody blocking for him. I think that we can make arguments for all the guys on both of our lists that didn't have much offensive line support.
Okay.
So Damian Martinez got a ton of it, and he didn't exactly trailblaze. Like he's a great back. He's a great back. I need to be clear. He's a great, great back, but I'm not exactly blown away with the production based on the offensive line that he had protecting it.
I understand what you're saying, but the reason I brought up Cam Ward versus Miami's offensive line is because I do agree with you on Oregon State. DJU was so limited at times last year that he had to put Joe, there were times on third and seven that they knew that they had to run the football because DJ could not complete a pass. Like, they would stack the box. How many times is he going to see one high safety wherever he goes? He's not going to see a crowded box like he used to.
Fair.
Okay, so I do think that he was playing, but even though he had a really decent offensive line, it doesn't matter how good his O-line is if they're stacking the box like most teams did versus Oregon State. I look at Damian Martinez, Joe. He rushed for 1,185 yards. He did catch the ball a little bit. They didn't really throw it to him out of the backfield. He had nine touchdowns. Okay. I am going to blame this more on DJU from a production standpoint than I am Damian Martinez. Because I look at that kid and say, listen, which is ironic. He both years he ran for 6.1 yards per carry, which is kind of Mr. Consistent there. But I don't trust in DJU. Never have. I think there's a reason that DJU's not at Michigan State with his old coach and Jonathan Smith. I don't think the kid was good enough. And I think Florida State's about to find that out very quickly. I put his not production up there with most because of DJU. O-line, fantastic, whatever. But when you're in a stack box, Joe, you can go through PFF. I looked this up today. Guess what running back of all the five that I have had more players in the box than any others?
Was it Martinez?
It was
Martinez.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Martinez. So where most guys had a 4, 5, 6 man box, he and majority, this is per PFF, 7.25 players in the box when against Oregon State last year. That is absurd.
I'm trying to figure out where you can find
deep in there. Right, actually, I got
it. That's it. Okay. It'll take me too long to go and find that. Who do you want to get to next? What? What'd you say? Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. I lost you there for a minute. What about Taj Brooks at Texas Tech? Joe, there was something interesting I saw about Taj Brooks from Texas Tech. Can we talk about him?
Yeah. I love Taj Brooks.
Well, then why do you have him at 5?
You have him at 4. You're acting like there's some big difference there.
All right. Taj Brooks, Texas Tech, which a lot of people don't have their eyes on him. Joe, listen to this. Taj Brooks, 5'10", 230 pounds. The senior led the nation, so coming back this year as well, led the nation with 96 forced missed tackles a year ago. He led the nation second in the nation in forced missed tackles without contact. The only other person that did that was Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner. Oh, by the way, of his 1,500 yards last year, 998 came after contact. That is the epitome of a running back. Taj Brooks is my what's the phrase that people say? He is my spirit animal at running back.
I think it's a good way of putting it. He's really fun to watch because he just runs through a motherfucker's face. He's one of those dudes who'll just run
not care
through you. Yeah, I love him. He's a great example of what I was talking about a second ago. I think it's important to acknowledge if a guy doesn't really have good blocking in front of him, how does he succeed? How is he going to do? He doesn't care. He'll hit you. He'll put you in the mouth. He cares nothing about contact. Now, I like him, man. He runs hard, really hard. I don't know if he's going to get limited because of the fact that, you know, he's at Texas Tech of all places, but no Texas, no Oklahoma. Now's the time. Time for him to shine. Time for Texas Tech to take that next step, man. Rhymed accidentally twice there.
God, dog, man. I was so wrong on Texas Tech last year.
Oh, we were. I thought they were going to be. Both were.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be my sleeper last year, and they fell flat on their face against Wyoming in week one. I'm like, God, I'm such a dummy. Look, the most impressive thing in all of that, Joe, is 900-plus yards, almost 1,000 yards after contact. Literally, that means that, Joe, pretty much 75% of all the yards that he got at the line of scrimmage was him getting touched by a defender and gaining that. By the way, over 5 yards a carry last year. That, when you talk about just putting your head down and getting tough yardage, he is the poster child for that. I think the dude's going to, you know, make a really good running back in the NFL because, and he can have a longer career due to the fact, hey, man, this kid might not be able to block in space. He might not be able to catch a pass on the outside, but if it's 3rd and 2, we can hand the ball off to him and get a first down. I like Taj Brooks a lot, but I am not going to put that much faith in Texas Tech again like I did last year.
Yeah, I like to point out, it feels really weird with our lists. There's not a lot of premier teams that we're talking about here, even with one of the top two guys that we have on these lists. But, God, you can't not include Brooks somewhere in that top five range. We got to get to Ollie Gordon. I know that, like, this is kind of the obvious one. Dude, Ollie Gordon. We both have him at number one. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. I don't think it's a guy that anybody is going to debate. I think that it's capably possible for his production to be higher this season than it was last year.
He doesn't have to play Texas, doesn't have to play Oklahoma.
Here's the craziest part, though. It took a few weeks into the season for Mike Gundy and the offense to realize, hey, this guy's pretty good. We should start giving him all of the carries. He was sharing touches the first, like, 3 weeks of the season, and he still rushed for, what was it, 1,700 yards?
1,700 yards.
I'm just paying attention to the fact, assuming that he doesn't, and he was pretty healthy all year. For all the carries that he got, he didn't really go down with any injuries or anything. If he's fully healthy, dude.
Kind of got nicked up in that Big 12 championship game, but he came right back.
He could be a 2,000-yard rusher. I know that sounds insane to say, but there's a really realistic shot. He's just one of those guys where when there's no blocking and the box is stacked, you're just watching, and then you're going, oh, my God, he's going to pop this thing. He's going to return this for – or this is going to take this to the house for a touchdown. He's just so unbelievable with the way that he can turn nothing into something. I can't stop watching him. He's so fun.
Oklahoma State had below-average quarterback play, and, Joe, he led them to the Big 12 championship game. Mm-hmm. Single-handedly led them –
in the year 2023, he did that.
Right, in the year 2023 of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, I remember the Oklahoma game. I remember so many times, Joe, that, look, I do think the kid is special. And I think I told you this a long time ago, but, you know, nobody ever really talked about it. You talked about you being shocked that Gentry, whatever, that he didn't enter the portal. Ollie Gordon is the person that I'm the most surprised of the running back room that didn't enter the portal, mainly due to the fact that I thought that somebody would come after him because, look, he's at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Joe, I don't know if he can get to the illustrious 2,000 yards, but I think that it's more – it could be a possibility. I mean, he's not that far off. The only thing that I question with Ollie Gordon is how much do you have in the tank? Right, he was a workhorse last year, and sometimes when you see backs that are that much of a workhorse, it doesn't pan out well.
It's a fair point. It's a very fair point. Well, the only counter I give to that, though, is, and he does give me some vibes of this guy. He's got a similar physical profile. The one guy who's outplayed that is Derrick Henry. And, I could kind of see him.
Oh, Derrick Henry's built like a Clydesdale. That's not really a fair comparison.
Ollie Gordon's not too far off in terms of his physical profile. He's 6'2", he's 220 pounds, and
Joe, Derrick Henry during the season is probably 265, 270.
He's not. All right, he's 240, he's 6'2", 245. So if he put on a little more weight, which he should try to do this offseason.
Which would be around what I'm saying. Dude, you really don't think Derrick Henry walks around at 260, 265?
Nah, because he doesn't look that big.
He is, though. Have you seen him in person? Because I have. Joe, he's every bit of 265 pounds, regardless. I agree. And you know what? He does have – he is fast enough to break and get to the outside and hit the edge. Look, he's the best back in college football to both of us. So, Gundy gets hot in the month of October, you know, and maybe they can win or get back to the Big 12 title game. But it will have to be because of Ollie Gordon. They don't have much else outside of him. Joe, there are two Ohio State running backs that I'm sure we'll get questioned about here. First, we both put Quinshon Judkins at number two. People can say, what about Henderson? There's a reason you go and get Quinshon Judkins.
I disagree with that.
And I don't think that maybe both backs could have 1,000 yards. I don't think that they will. But, look, Quinshon Judkins for me, Joe, I think overall, when it comes to everything, is the best overall back. But I just couldn't put him over Ollie Gordon because it'd be ludicrous. When it comes to everything, Judkins is the best out of all of them. He can pass block. He can run in between the tackles, outside the tackles. He can catch the football. But there are some issues with him, okay? Like, look, the thing with Ole Miss was very chronicalized in reference to him getting off the field in that bowl game. Mm-hmm. I just think he is so special, man. I really do. I think he can do anything that you ask him to, and I think it's going to be really fun to watch him at Ohio State.
I think he's like the perfect definition of an elite college running back. I don't know if his success will necessarily translate to the same level in the NFL. But he is the prototype of being built to take a lot of carries, take a lot of hits. You can really lean on him to be the premier back in your running back room. I think a bit of an interesting take here. I wouldn't be shocked if Quinshon Judkins finishes outside of the top 15 in rushing yards.
I wouldn't
either. Still talk about him as a top five back at the end of the season because he's splitting all these carries. And you bring up a good point with Henderson, where like I don't know that dynamic's gonna play out, you know? It's kind of a weird thing to predict how that's gonna end up turning out for the both of them.
And look, that makes him more dangerous. Now that he does not have to be the workload at Ole Miss, he can take plays off and get a breath, sit out maybe 4, 5, 6 plays in a series. It makes him more dangerous, which is going to benefit him more. I agree. Statistically, he might not be up there with everybody else this year, but when it comes to production, like when he's actually on the field, I do agree he can be up there. I got to ask you a question. Why didn't you have Trevor Etienne in over Neal?
Look, I think Trevor Etienne is a strong back and was a really good pickup for Georgia. I just don't know if like I've ever really tangibly got the he's going to take over a game or he is taking over a game.
I mean, he did have Billy Napier as his head coach, and
fair,
and okay, but
and his stats are going to be inflated this year because he's playing behind a pretty good offensive line in a good offensive system. I just look at Devin Neal for what he had around him and the production that he was able to generate. He was the do-it-all guy for them. The biggest games that they had. Like I think about the win that they had against Oklahoma and the presence that he had in that game. He is a killer in space. He is tremendously agile, cuts so easily, creates separation so easily. I think that he's so underrated, man. I really don't think that a lot of people want to give him love because he's sticking it out at Kansas. But he could be the top. There's a chance that he is second behind Ollie Gordon in rushing yards in the Big 12. Very good chance of that.
This is going to sound like a hot take because there are players that are going to have massive impacts for team from the portal. I think that Trevor Etienne is going to have the biggest impact that nobody is going to understand or realize. Joe, can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, you know why Georgia ultimately lost to Alabama? They couldn't run the football effectively enough, consistently. Joe, that kid is about to go absolutely bananas. He's got a better offensive line and he's got better play calling. That kid, and it's going to set things up for Carson Beck. Look, Joe, Last year, there were times, again, that Georgia faced a very big box. And that's why Carson Beck had a lot of success, is because teams tried to take away the run. Then when they realized they didn't have to stack the box to stop the run against them, Missouri, that sometimes Ole Miss, that they could back out. Didn't stop them from beating the dog shit out of everybody. Bottom line for me is, I think it's a bet. It's arguably one of the biggest impact pickups because of what they want to get back to. They want to run the football effectively. They want to control the clock. They have a top five pick at quarterback. I do think that Georgia has the weapons on the outside. Joe, today on my Around Your SEC, I think head and shoulders they are better than everybody else in the country. And the biggest question mark that they had coming into the season was their offensive line. Joe, if there is going to be a 1,500-yard back in the SEC next year, I know that they like to rotate backs. So maybe he doesn't get there. But he can be a 6-7 yard per carry guy, and they're going to throw him the football. The kid, and by the way, just want to let you know, he can throw. Like, Kirby is so clever with using guys like that, a little lefty that can get a little halfback toss and then throw a pass.
Counting that in your analysis.
Oh, you're damn right. You know why I am? Because I saw the kid play baseball 3 years ago, and he was throwing 92 from the left side.
That's pretty nuts.
I know. That's what I'm saying. People thought that he was going to play baseball. Bottom line is, I think he has a big impact. I think they lean on him. I think it just takes so much pressure off of Carson Beck that I feel like Beck had last year. Those are the kind – Joe, they're light years better in their running game because of him. The cuts that he was making this spring and that I saw at practice, dude, he's ridiculous. I do think that he had a lot of issues with Billy Napier. Billy, people don't run power or counter out of pistol like that and have massive amounts of success. Joe, I think he had more success because of his head coach limiting him in some things. And he's just going to – Joe, they can run inside zone. He's going to be wide open.
Yeah, but are we just – I just don't think it makes sense to rank a guy because he's stepping into the best situation out of everybody that we're talking about. I think he was a good back. I think he's worthy of being in the top 10 conversation. But do I think that there were players that were able to succeed with less around them? Yeah. I think that there are a lot more guys that I can pull up.
Name a coach worse than Billy Napier that any of these guys had.
Okay.
Because at some point, we're going to have a conversation about Billy and Joe, all the shit that's going on Twitter.
We've had a lot of conversations about Billy.
But Joe, it continues to happen, though. You have players out here that are calling out Billy. You have Prince Human Yellen, we talked about last week. You got the nunnery kid saying, hey, you told me to do this. You saw the Austin Armstrong tell me to do X, Y, and Z. I did it. And then you blamed me for shit going wrong. Joe, you mean to tell me that this kid had that much success with all that toxicity around him?
Yeah, look, I get that. I understand that. But, I mean, wait, did he even – what were his final stats in the year?
I didn't look. I don't need to look.
I thought he was a good back. He had 753 yards and 8 touchdowns. Again, I thought he was a good back and he was splitting some time. But I'm not going to throw him in there at number 5 because – he ends up in the best situation. You throw any of these guys that we're talking about in Georgia's run game, they're going to explode. They're going to have huge years. He's a fine player. He's a good back. He's just not top 5. He might only be in a 1,000-yard rusher this year for exactly what you just said, because they rotate a ton of backs.
Well, you can't say that, and you just said the same about Quinshon Judkins. It's not fair for you to label that on Etienne and say,
because I have the production from Quinshon Judkins. I have seen
you have the production from Trevor Etienne.
753 yards is not the same as what Quinshon Judkins did.
753 yards at Georgia is over Florida is over 1,000 yards anywhere else in the SEC, not named Vandy.
I understand that the coaching staff and roster situation is toxic, but their offensive lines, Ole Miss to Florida, is not that far off. They're both bad.
No, but the play calling's vastly off.
Okay, I think you're putting a little too much stock in just that piece. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just not
a massive deal.
I'm just not gonna. There are other backs that I would have if Georgia could pick any other running back that they want in the country, I think that they would have picked others before they picked.
I got a question for you. Was Anthony Richardson a top five pick?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. When you were breaking him down and you saw what the stuff that Billy was calling and you watched it.
It's not comparable.
I'm just asking. Billy is one of the worst play callers? Because I remember you saying that Billy very vastly limited Anthony Richardson. Are you going to take that against Etienne?
Because a quarterback has such a larger spectrum in performance
I'm not talking about Richardson. I'm just talking about the play calling. I'm just talking about overall.
Sure, but I don't think that those should be some sort of a comparison. Those should not be brought up together.
Oh, shit.
What? I
got a phone call. It's Lane Kiffin saying to grow up.
Oh, screw you.
All right. Anybody else on this list that we possibly missed?
No, we talked about everyone.
Yeah, we did.
Your list sucks. Let's talk about Cormani. We got to get to that.
All right, Cormani McClain. Oh, shit, we're 50 minutes into the show. All right, so, Joe, there have been some guys that have entered the transfer portal. I want to get to this, too, as well with Deion. But Cormani McClain, Colorado, has hit the transfer portal. Your thoughts?
Look, we have tap-danced around it a little bit, having these conversations about Colorado and the roster building. I will give Deion Sanders some credit for having a unique approach and being willing to stick to what he wants to do. You know, he's not afraid to
run people off.
He's not afraid to build the roster the way that he sees fit. But I find it really concerning that he's, and this is all the culmination of everything. I find it concerning that he's unwilling to take in home visits and he's unwilling to do what it necessary to keep some of these important guys on the roster. Understandably, not every guy is going to be a fit, but to see Cormani McClain, who was a five-star guy who you went after and you were very aggressive in recruiting, and he's out the door. We don't know what happened behind closed doors. But they can't succeed if they're having this much turnover. This is just too much roster turnover. I'm not saying that they can't win games and improve, and they probably will improve slightly this year. But this expectation that some people have that they're going to somehow win 9 games in 2024, it's not going to happen. There's too many kids hitting the portal. It's too many.
Let me start off by saying this. Joe, Colorado's pass defense was arguably the worst in the country. Now, if you don't want to believe me, just go to the statistics and look at them being 130th out of 130 teams when it comes to passing yards allowed. What was Cormani McClain doing that was so bad that with the worst pass defense in the country that Deion would not put him out there? I don't know if the kid can play. So when you have the worst, Joe, I'm talking about dead last in the country. My first thought is, even when Deion was at the press conference and calling him out and saying his practice habits are lazy and the kid is lazy, he didn't use those words, but that's what he said.
He inferred it pretty aggressively.
Pretty aggressive.
Called him out.
Multiple times throughout the year and was asked about him multiple times throughout the year. There are two things that can be true. Deion could have found out about that if he did in-home visits. And I do think that more than Cormani, and I know that Deion had the issues with him, I think that Deion Sanders, when it comes to roster building, if this were anybody else, we would be ridiculing them for the bleachers. You know what we would be doing as media? Because, Joe, we see it all the time. Mm-hmm. We would say he's on a hot seat. Because there's nobody in the country. Now, he is different. Deion's a different beast. I think Deion's a lazy recruiter. I think that the things that he's done is lazy. I'm going to cut this kid, cut that kid, cut this kid. You can't do that. There are kids 18 to 21 years old that are going to make dumb, stupid decisions. Oh, they didn't go to class. I guarantee you, Deion, there were times at Florida State Deion did not go to class. Guarantee it. So as much as I think that there is something to be said about Carmani McClain having issues getting onto the field, I also think that there's got to be things said about Deion when it comes to, look, buddy, your roster building is F minus. Okay, it is horrendous. So I don't know what Deion is trying to do here. Maybe he is just trying to get his kids out of there and get as a first-round pick. But, Joe, again, if we're going to be honest about everything, if anybody else in the country was doing this and had this much turnover, we would be ridiculing them and screaming it from the bleachers. Just because it's Deion just should not change anything now.
So what you just said, I think, is really the only take to have with this. It's almost a waste of our energy to sit here. You know, and the comments are going to attack us for criticizing him.
Yeah,
and
two white guys are saying something negative about Deion. Let's call it what it is, because it's going to be in the comments.
So the point though that I'm getting at here is, it's so blatantly apparent that he is going to jump ship. It's so blatantly apparent that by the time Shador, Shiloh, and Travis Hunter are done, that he's going to leave. Because this is not indicative of long-term culture building, roster building success. It is clear that he's just kind of duct taping pieces to the boat and hoping it doesn't sink. That
1,000%.
He needs to do just enough for an NFL team to be interested in him. That's the way that it looks.
Look what he's doing with his offensive line. It's a joke. You're going to have bot dudes that get hurt there. So when your entire second team offensive line transfers, then your son is going to be in a massive issue. And let me clarify something about him being a lazy recruiter. How do you know he's a lazy recruiter? Doing in-home visits. You have coaches in your own conference, now the new Big 12, hundreds of in-home visits, in-school visits a year, hundreds. Shit, your entire staff doing thousands. I understand that Deion has had some health issues and has potentially limited him. I understand that. However, you're flying to other places and doing other things, like going to an Aflac commercial. What is more important? Doing that damn Aflac commercial or going in home with a kid and understanding him, the kid, understanding the parents, understand the dynamic of where he's coming from, understand the entire situation. Everybody from South Florida is not Deion. You don't grow up in the same situations. Nobody does. Everything is different. You might have similarities, but the in-home is always going to be different because people are different. It is, without a question, and I am going to scream this from the bleachers, I like Deion. I actually kind of love Deion as a coach. I think he's high entertainment. And Joe, every time that we talk about him, the views go through the roof. If we wanted to be clickbaity, we would talk about Deion every show. But let's not be hypocritical and say, like, we talk about Sam Pittman, Billy Napier, all these dudes on the hot seat. I know he's only been there 1 year and he had 4 wins, which was better at Colorado. You can't be that lazy and think things are going to change. Bottom line, it's not an excuse, because the Aflac commercial thing to me is the biggest thing. His kids going all around the country doing commercials and other players having to go to weightlifting and practice. It's a joke, Joe. It's a joke. And somebody's got to call him out for it.
I mean, I think plenty of people are starting to call him out for it. But I think that for anyone who is asking in the comments, like, what do the in-home visits do? That stuff is actually, if you talk to any coaches, if you talk to NFL scouts, they want to understand what – you're able to really learn a lot about a kid based on when you go to their house or you go to their school. And I understand, like, you made the comment of, like, oh, if I go, then it's going to be a big, you know, big commotion. Everyone's going to be, it's going to cause a whole ordeal at a school if I go to visit him. But first of all, that's how you get a kid to commit, because coaches fly freaking helicopters to schools to go talk to kids that, you know, they want a commotion. And second of all, like, you can't let something like that prevent you from getting to know a player. And I think that it's a good point that Carmani McClain, if he wasn't meant for playing there and being a part of this roster, he would have discovered that. And if he would have discovered, maybe at least had an inkling or a sense of a feeling. Coaches will pull out on recruiting kids if they get a slight off gut feeling on a kid. just a slight off. John, you can't tell that over the phone, man. You can't tell that over the phone.
Or on FaceTime or on Zoom, because people are going to act different. Joe, I'm going to tell you something. I know a coach right now, high profile. You know who I'm talking about because you love him too, who told me verbatim this past recruiting cycle when he was at another school. He told me when he goes and does in-home visits, if the house is messy, if the people aren't picking up for themselves, if they don't take care of themselves, he will leave. He will call his coaches. He will say, "We got to abandon this." There are just things that you got to look at that you just bottom line have to be in person to figure out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I'm out on Deion, but I think that there has to come a time where you put your foot down and say enough is enough. Again, it's not fair to any other coach that we talk about. Oh, well, it's Deion. It's different. This shit, it's different. The greatest of all time doesn't do that. And there's nobody, Deion Sanders included, more prolific when it comes to coaching more than Nick Saban. Nobody.
Well, the last thing you said there to close us out here that you just said, we both like Deion Sanders as a coach. He's fun. But at the end of the day, it's so freaking clear that this is not a long-term plan for him. We need to stop playing around with this over-under
and he's going to be at Colorado next year.
He's not going to be there.
I
don't know how he's going to position a 6-win season to get him an NFL head coaching job, but I mean, he's going to try and get that opportunity. And if they don't win 6 games, I don't know if he's somebody who sticks around to try and figure out the rest of it. It's all there. There's so much proof.
Last thing I'm going to say, though, how bad did Carmoni McClain on the field have to be for you to be dead last and not play the kid? That's all I'm saying. There's got to be something to it now. Deion's not crazy. I think he's lazy in recruiting, but I don't think he's crazy. All right. Good show, good sir.
Yes, sir.
We'll see everybody again on Sunday. Maybe we will talk deeper about the portal. No telling who is going to get in there. But until then, y'all have a good week, the rest of your week. We'll see y'all on Sunday. Peace.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.